The story of the day, of course, is the debate, and we will get to it all morning long, the highlights and lowlights, but we are here in the Motor City. There are auto stories to discuss, and who better than Paul Eisenstein, senior contributing editor for Headline.News. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. A little tired because I watched that debate last night. But anyway, let's start with Stellantis. There was this meeting a month ago with, you know, these Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealers sending this letter to the CEO saying, we have frustrations. We have a bunch of cars sitting on the lot amongst other things going on with the company as a whole. And then there were these meetings this week to discuss the state of things in Stellantis. What do you know?
Yep. Yeah, the dealers have not been very happy with what's been happening at Stellantis. And frankly, I would say nobody is. Investors haven't been happy. And even the CEO, who took an earful of complaints from those dealers, he himself, in a meeting with reporters a couple weeks ago, told us that his own arrogance caused him to be blind to some of the issues that they face. We wrote a story for Headline.News just last week about this, and we listed several things that the CEO, Carlos Tavares, acknowledged. Number one, they did not recognize that their vehicles were too expensive, and as a result, they've had to run incentives up. You know, that means dealing by dealers that cut deeply into their own profitability. Their marketing was bad, and they just missed the mark in a number of different areas.
Well, you know, when you look at the competitive landscape of the auto industry, I mean, how critical is it for Stellantis to not only address the dealer concerns, but also, you know, innovate and introduce some newer models?
Well, they've been launching some newer models. Unfortunately, another thing we should be talking about today is the issue of quality. And Dodge, which had been doing extremely well in the quality circle, took a bath as a result of some of the changes they've made, at least according to J.D. Power with the new initial quality study. Dodge, which got rid of some of its older models, as you know, the Charger and Challenger, switched over to a couple of new vehicles, including the Hornet, which is available both as a gas model and as a plug-in hybrid. And the quality was disastrous. So that didn't help them at all. The good news is that their Ram brand at least did well in terms of quality. But Stellantis clearly needs a lot of new product in a lot of different areas. And we're going to see a bunch of that. In recent weeks, we've seen them announce the launch of the new Wagoneer S from Jeep, which will be that brand's first electric vehicle. We have new electric vehicles and a range extended vehicle coming in from the Ram brand and so on.
Paul, looking at the IQS, the only folks doing worse than Dodge, Rivian, Tesla, Polestar, all BEV companies. I think we just had our fourth recall on the Cybertruck, and there's only a few of them out there to begin with. Talk to me about this perception problem that consumers have once they get into a BEV, that they see a lot of problems or perceived problems. And also, when they try to integrate their cell phone with Apple CarPlay or Android Auto, that it keeps dropping off.
Yeah, let's talk about the broader issue, then narrow it down. This is not new in the sense that J.D. Power has found that technology, all sorts of technology when it comes to advanced driver assistance systems like forward collision warning and auto braking, as well as CarPlay. Oh my gosh, CarPlay and Android Auto have been disastrous. Consumers love it, but the reality is they also run into a lot of problems with technology. And today's cars are high tech. There's no question about it, even the base vehicles. And that has been apparent. The issues with technology have now outnumbered the number of problems with mechanical issues. In other words, you rarely see faulty engines or transmissions. You see a lot of problems with technology. Now, that's all the more so on new battery electric vehicles, in part because EVs are downright computers on wheels. They have more technology on average than comparable gas-powered vehicles. And that has been a real issue. Now, here's one good thing. Power also noted that a lot of the things that they report in their study, the initial quality study, are now being able to be fixed remotely using smartphone-like over-the-air updates. So in many cases, you may have a problem, but the manufacturer is fixing it without you ever having to go to a dealer or service shop.
Paul, speaking of Rivian, Volkswagen invested in that company. And is this a way for Volkswagen to get into the EV market and already get something that's started?
And does it save Rivian?
Okay, there's a couple questions there. Let's talk VW first. VW has one of the most expansive plans going for electric vehicles of any manufacturer in the industry. They plan to spend something like $100 billion by the end of the decade. And that, of course, covers their other brands, everything from VW to Bentley and Lamborghini. But that is a lot of money. Now, the thing is that Rivian has some real good technology. In fact, I had a chance to visit the Rivian Tech Center out in Plymouth last Friday, and I was impressed with their second generation technology. Apparently, so was VW, which is going to spend, they've committed to about $5 billion to get access to a lot of the technology. It's cleaner, it's faster, it's simpler, and it should be a major advantage. It'll help VW move ahead, make their electric vehicles, this is a great combination, both better and cheaper. Now, the downside, Rivian has had technical problems. And like a lot of EV startups, it's had both mechanical problems. Yeah, it has had mechanical problems and a lot of problems with its technology. So it's got to get that stuff straightened out. Rivian was a golden child when it first hit the market. It had a valuation of, you ready for this? $86 billion, more than Ford Motor Company or General Motors.
Right.
But the problem is their sales have been lagging. They've had trouble getting enough vehicles out of the factory, the one that they have down in Normal, Illinois, and they need money to help get that plant online, expand the plant, and to develop the next generation of products. There are two model.
You know, Paul, the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, they've expressed some concerns about NHTSA's recent rule on these automatic emergency braking systems. Talk about why automakers find these requirements so challenging to meet.
Yeah, the Alliance, representing virtually all the key automakers operating in the U.S., has asked that NHTSA back off on some of this forward collision warning technology. Now, the reality is the industry was actually moving a little bit ahead of NHTSA for a while. This technology is able to see another car ahead of you that might result in a crash, and it can be used to spot pedestrians, bicyclists, motorcyclists, and so on. But the new NHTSA regulations go so far as to, at some points, require an automaker to be able to completely avoid an accident that would occur at speeds up to 90-something miles an hour. And the biggest challenge is getting the technology to work at night. I think the automakers still are in support of advancing this new forward collision technology. They're just thinking that they can't quite go as far as NHTSA is demanding by the end of the decade, and they want the agency to basically ease off on the standards rather than eliminate them entirely. And it's important to consider that over the last 5 years, we've seen, you ready for this, 35,000 American pedestrians killed in motor vehicle crashes. We need something.
Paul Eisenstein, senior contributing editor for Headline.News. Thank you so much for being just the expert in all of these topics.
Oh, you're welcome. I will tell you, though, it is Headlight with a T, headlight.news.com, no.com, just headlight.news.
Headlight.news, got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.